I'm thankful to be able to be here with you again. I have a little message that I feel like the Lord has given to me that I pray will be a blessing to each one of us. We depend on the Spirit of the Lord to make that possible, to give life to His Word and to give us understanding of it. I'd like to begin, ask for your prayers. I'd like to begin in the 20th chapter of the book of Exodus. Exodus, the 20th chapter, the location here that we have recorded the commandments that the Lord gave, told unto Moses and passed down to His people, and to give understanding of what He requires of them as a just and a holy God. And I'd like to pay particular attention to the 7th verse. It says, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." The thought that I have this morning is about the name of the Lord. What is in a name? Many times we hear a name and perhaps it's a name of somebody or something that whenever we hear the name, it brings something to our minds. Maybe it's memories that we have with someone, or it's an image that we have in our mind of them. Well, I want to consider the name of the Lord. There's a song that I've heard before. It says, "His name is more than just a swear word, more than just an I don't care word. His name is the only hope we have. Oh, how could we handle it so carelessly? It's the one name, the one word that we call upon, that we have hope in." And you know, I hear the name of Jesus used fairly often in our world today. I hear the name of the Lord used pretty much every day, even among the people that don't have any profession or maybe no witness about their life that they have a love for the Lord. Yet I hear His name used so often. I heard had a man that I work with a while back. I was spending some time with him and we were in the same room together. And he kept using the name of the Lord in vain. Kept using His name in a way other than what brought glory to that name. And he stopped himself at one point and said, "Clint, I'm sorry." He said, "I don't know why I say this. I don't know why I use that name." And so we talked a little bit about it. And I said, "You know, I've noticed I never hear people using the name of others' gods in vain. I never hear anyone using the name of Muhammad or anybody else in vain like that. It's always the name of my Lord. And it's always many times used in such a blasphemous or a careless way to use the name of the Lord. His name is so much more than that." And I want to look at the 29th chapter of Psalms. So we try to get a little picture this morning of what the name of the Lord means to us. 29th chapter of the book of Psalms says, "Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." Whenever we come before the Lord, it says to bring unto the Lord, give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. It says in another place, I believe, in maybe a 2 Chronicles or 1 Chronicles, that we bring an offering before the Lord and to give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Give to the Lord the glory and the honor that is worthy of His name, that He's earned, that He is deserving of all the glory and the honor that we can give unto His name. We hear many people that are praised and honored, whether it's a quarterback on a popular team or whoever it is, their name is honored. Their name is given great respect unto. And I hear it many times. I use the illustration of the sports world. I hear it many times. Those that are talking about their teams and they're talking about the draft or whatever, and this particular name, and we hope we can get this one, and they're singing the praises of that individual. You know, the Lord is worthy of all of our praise. The Lord is worthy of everything that we can give unto Him. The glory that is due unto His name. There's a song in our book that says, the music of His name. The music that we sing unto the Lord. Has the Lord earned your praise? Has the Lord done something in your life that's worthy of your praise? I remember going through one time and trying to list the names of the Lord. Trying to list the times that it says the Lord is this. The Lord is my refuge. The Lord is my strong high tower. The Lord is, and on and on. You know, the Lord is all those things. Whenever Moses, the Lord came to Moses and he said, I want to deliver my people. Moses said, well, Lord, they're going to ask me, what is the name of the one that sent me? You know, of all the Lord has said, I've thought about His answer, and I can't say that I understand it all. But He said, go and tell them, I am that I am. The great I am has sent you. You know that saying, I am everything that you need. I am, you can't compare me to anyone else. There's no other God, there's no person that you can compare me to. To say that the Lord has strength that's like so-and-so. Or the Lord has power and He has grace and He has mercy like we've seen over here. There's no comparison of what the Lord has. There's no basis to compare Him to. I am that I am. I am love. How do we know love? It's because we know the Lord. There's no other way to know love. He is the definition of love. And so God is love. That's part of who He is. That's part of His name. You know, many times we look at a name as just something to get your attention when I say that word. It's something to just identify you from everybody else. But the name of the Lord, it means so much more. And I believe that you see it more often in the Scriptures, of a deep meaning to a name. Whenever Jacob, or whenever someone, the Lord would meet them, and maybe they'd raise up an altar there unto the Lord, they would name that, and it would have significance of what the Lord did for them there. Jacob's name meant something. Meant supplanter. But the Lord changed his name and gave him a name that meant something other than supplanter, deceiver. Gave him the name of Israel. And you know, the name of the Lord has so much meaning to it. The name of the Lord is more than just an empty word. More than just the emptiness that the world uses it with. But the name of the Lord, it means everything that the Lord is to us. I am that I am. I am everything that you need. Alpha and Omega. I am the Creator. I'd like to look at a couple different scriptures if you want to. Turn with us to Psalms. I want to look first at the 148th chapter. Psalms 148 says, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise ye Him, all ye His angels. Praise ye Him, all His hosts. Praise ye Him, sun and moon. Praise ye Him, all the stars of light. The heaven of heavens and the waters that be above. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded, and they were created. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree, which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps. Fire and hail, snow and vapors. This sound like a song that you've sung before? Stormy wind fulfilling His word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowls, kings of earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord. For His name alone is excellent, His glory is above the earth and the heaven. 68th chapter of Psalms. Psalm 68, speaking of all that the Lord has done for His people, many ways that He's worked for His people, and it says to praise, not seeing the verse right now, to sing praises unto His name. You know, whenever we speak of praising the Lord, many times there are people that think it means to just say over and over, praise the Lord, praise God, praise the Lord, praise Jehovah, and to say over and over, and there are songs that will say that very thing, over and over and over and over, to praise the Lord. Is that what it means to praise the Lord? I believe that's part of it. I believe that every one of us should be willing to speak the praises of the Lord. Just as the world is willing and eager to speak the praises of those that they hold in such high esteem. Remember one time I was going into a store, a place of business. It was early in the morning. And there was a man sitting at the counter that looked like he was barely awake. And he kind of gave me a muttered greeting as I walked in the door. And I don't know what it was, but something about me, my age maybe, he thought I'd be interested in this. And all of a sudden you could see him light up in his face. He said, "Man, did you see that game last night?" And he got up out of his chair and he started reenacting a pass that somebody had made. And he was so animated by that. He was so excited by that. It was his passion. It meant something to him. You know, I've been challenged before. Lord, help me not to be shamed into silence. Lord, help me not to feel like I need to go through life. Oh, I better not say that. Or maybe I try to catch my, oh, I said, praise the Lord. Lord, help us that we be willing. Lord, Your name is so worthy of praise. Your name, the world needs to hear Your name. They need to hear it in a way other than what they're accustomed to hearing it. They hear, and I want as we go along to look a little more at what it means to take the name of the Lord in vain. Believe it has much more meaning than just what we perhaps hear of the world. But to praise the Lord means so much more than to just utter the words, praise the Lord. It means so much more than to just say, hallelujah, praise the Lord. You know, praise goes much deeper than that. Whenever you hear maybe the expression said, boy, they're just really singing their praises. They're just really singing the praises of so-and-so. Does it mean that they're saying, we'll use the name John? Does it mean they're going around saying, praise John, praise John, praise John, praise... You know what it means when they say they're singing their praises? They're saying all the things that they've done. They're attributing so much honor unto them, and praise unto them, and honor unto them. They're extolling their name. They're complimenting them. You know, to praise the Lord again goes so much deeper than for us to just go around and say, or even in our worship services, for it to just be an empty praise the Lord, praise the Lord. But there is to be a meaning behind it. What does the scripture say? The writings of Paul in his letter to the Corinthians, he said, I will pray with the Spirit, but I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, but I'll sing with the understanding also. It's more than just a going through the form. Our worship services are more than just a ritual or the things that we just know you're supposed to say in worship services. But it should be something that comes forth from within with understanding.
Yes, verse 4, I think it's what you want here in 68.
Thank you. Sing unto God, sing praises to His name. Extol Him that rideth upon the heavens by His name, Jah, and rejoice before Him. The word means Jehovah, the name by which He identified Himself and His people, to sing praises unto the Lord, to extol His name, to lift up His name. You know, in our services, sometimes we, maybe if we're not careful, we can get a little bit critical. And I've heard it before, maybe said, you know, I don't hear a whole lot of praise the Lord. I don't hear a whole lot of people lifting up their voices and saying praise the Lord. And you know, I believe again that we can allow the devil to get us into a place that he shuts our mouth. And I don't believe the Lord wants that. I believe that we are to have liberty in the Spirit as the Lord moves upon our hearts. Whenever we hear the name of the Lord. As we said, it's something whenever you hear a name that many times will bring memories with it. Will bring with it associated images or times that I've had dealings. You know, whenever we come to the service of the Lord and we hear the name of the Lord, you know, it should do something within us. The name of the Lord should cause something. Oh, I've had dealings with Him before. The Lord has been merciful to me. Song of Solomon, the first chapter. I'd like to look at Song of Solomon, verse 1. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. And we understand the language of the Song of Solomon to be the song of love between the Lord and His people. To be expressed both ways, the love that the Lord has for us, His children, and the love that we have unto Him. It says here, Lord, Your name is like unto ointment, or I believe as it's expressing, it is the ointment of ointments. It is the most precious of ointments. Thy name. Whenever I hear Your name, it causes something within me to well up. Rejoicing and thanksgiving at the name of the Lord that's mentioned. You know, that's the use, proper use of the name of the Lord. Not to just be thrown around lightly or used loosely, or whenever I stub my toe on something, that's when I use the name of the Lord. You know, there's a song that says, at the name of Jesus, all of heaven stands at attention. You know, there's power in that name. There's a recognition even among the devils of the power of the name of the Lord. The devils believe and they tremble. They understand. They know the power that's in that name. In the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus. Thank the Lord for it. All of heaven stands at attention. You know, whenever I speak somebody's name, I'm expecting for them to pay attention to me. Whenever I speak some my child's name or my wife's name, I would generally expect they'll turn around and they'll listen to what I have to say. You know, I don't want to use a name so loosely. Oh, Katrina, use my wife's name. And she turns and says, yes. You know, the Lord, whenever I call upon His name, I want the Lord to hearken to me. I want the Lord's ears to be open whenever I call His name. I don't want to just use His name so loosely that I just throw it around without any understanding of what I'm saying, without the purpose of my utterance of it, to extol His name with a worship from my heart or a cry unto Him to get His attention. He said in Isaiah the 42nd chapter in the 8th verse, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, not willing to give my glory and honor to any other person or thing. Psalms 34 and 3. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I'd like to look at one more here in Psalms while we're here, the 69th chapter. In the 30th verse, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. You know, there is importance in our thanksgiving and in our testimonies. Whenever we speak of what the Lord has done for us, whenever I testify, and it's not only in a prayer meeting or to services, but whenever someone knows I've been sick, and they see that I'm well, I'm doing better. Oh, the Lord gave me a touch. The Lord came and He helped me. The Lord answered prayer in this thing. You know, that's praising the Lord. That's bringing honor and glory to the Lord's name. By our thanksgiving, He said, let us magnify the name of the Lord. How do we magnify the name of the Lord? Lord, help us to bring honor unto His name. The world has so diminished what the name of the Lord means, what the name of Jesus means, what Christianity means. You know, it means so little to the world anymore to hear you say, I'm a Christian. Many times people at work, sometimes, Clint, go have a drink with us. Clint, go do this with us. And I'll say, no, I can't participate in that. I don't want to be involved with that. And as the discussion goes forth, you know, the answer really, at one point in time, it would have been clear enough to say, I don't because I'm a Christian. I don't participate in that or do that because I'm a Christian. But you understand how the name has been diminished? The value of the name has been brought down so low to where it doesn't mean anything anymore. So now, Lord, I want to use wisdom in reaching these people. I don't want to just throw it out there and leave it. Lord, if I have an opportunity, I want to go beyond it. I want to be able to explain a little bit. This is what Christianity means to me. This is what the name of the Lord means to me. Folks, I don't know about you, but I cringe. I've worked for one man in particular. It seems like just about every other sentence was combining a curse word with the name of Jesus. And I cringe every time I heard it. That's my Savior. That's my friend that you're talking about. Do you know we have a responsibility to extol and magnify the name of the Lord? I hear in my company, in the corporate world in general, they remind us of the importance of the company's name and how every employee has a responsibility to the name of their company. Why is that? You know, they look at in the market and they say the name of my company is worth so many billions of dollars. The name of a company that we've heard in the last few months in the news that makes automobiles, that there was a scandal that was involved with that. The value of their name went down dramatically, almost overnight. The value of that name, the worth of that name, because the esteem isn't there. The knowledge in people's minds that this is something you can trust. This is something that's dependable and trustworthy. So there's value in that. Whenever I see that emblem or I see that name on a product that I'm looking at, I say I can buy that. Because I know the name. I recognize the name. I know what goes into it. I know the value of that. You know, that's what our experience of salvation is to be to this world. Whenever they can look at it and say, oh, whenever they're in their times of need, I know who I can go to. I know the one that I can call upon. I've heard what He's done for them. I've seen how He's worked in their lives. Surely that's the one that'll work for me. Whenever I'm in my time of trouble and distress, surely that's one that I can turn to as well. That is magnifying the name of the Lord. They've reminded me, my co-workers, that whenever you go out representing the company, you have a great responsibility. Conduct yourself carefully. They've instructed us, don't do anything that would be construed as borderline. If there's a law or there's a requirement or there's a matter of ethics, of right or wrong, they say don't even go close to that line. Don't even blur the lines of what appears right and wrong. Because you're a representative of our name. Whenever, if you were to do something, you go on a business trip and you conduct yourself in a way that is not conducive to good behavior or whatever, guess whose name is going to be tied to that? Whenever it goes in the newspapers, Clint Doolittle of so-and-so company conducted himself this way. You know, every one of us are ambassadors of Christ. Every one of us are called to take His name to this world, to bear His name, to go forth bearing the name of Jesus, This is who I am. This is the one that I worship and I serve. So Lord, help me to take that great responsibility very seriously. Scripture says that a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. There is such a great value in a good reputation. And so much can be torn down in a name, in somebody's reputation. And something that's done in a way that I conduct myself, and I can tear down confidence in my life that would take years and years to be able to restore by the way that I conduct myself. Lord, I realize then I'm going forth bearing Your name. It's not only my name, but Lord, I want to guard Your reputation. You know, whenever my wife married me, that was part of our vows, to guard the reputation of Your husband. Lord, help me as I'm espoused unto Christ to guard His reputation, to guard His name. You can read in 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, it's talking about Paul addressing the conduct of servants. And he talks to them about the way that they are to conduct themselves, and it says that the name of God might not be blasphemed. And it connects it with their conduct, with their behavior, and the name of the Lord. By your behavior, by the way that you conduct yourself and present yourself, you can blaspheme the name of the Lord. It's not only doing like Madeline O'Hara or somebody and standing on a stage and openly blaspheming God and declaring there is no God. It goes deeper than that. There's more to it than that. By a life that's shabby, by a life that is not speaking and testifying to the righteousness of God, but yet bearing His name. You know, I, in essence, blaspheme the name of the Lord. In other words, I bring it to low esteem, the name of the Lord. Speaks the same of the conduct of wives in the 2nd chapter, and I believe unto every one of us. Romans, the 2nd chapter, also speaking of the Jews, maybe we can turn and read that one. Romans, the 2nd chapter. Let's begin with the 19th verse. Art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge and the truth and the law? Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed even among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. You know, He doesn't say in here the things that you teach, the things that you're passing down to others is wrong. You shouldn't teach these things. It's not saying the doctrine that you hold is wrong, but the way that you're not allowing it by the grace of God to be fulfilled in your own life. It takes away all the essence and the meaning of it. You know, the doctrines of the Word of God, we can devalue until it's nothing in people's minds. It's not that the problem's with the doctrines. The problem is I am diminishing the name of the Lord. I'm holding to those things in hypocrisy. I'm teaching those things. I'm saying these things. But my life is not backing it up. My life is cheapening the name of the Lord and bringing down the value of His name. And He said unto them here, by doing this thing, by holding these truths and then your own selves, not living it out in your own life, you're blaspheming the name of the Lord among the Gentiles. Among those that are looking on and witnessing this thing, you're not extolling my name. You're not lifting it up, but rather you're blaspheming it. Another way to blaspheme the name of the Lord, or to take the name of the Lord in vain, is to say, as you can read in Ezekiel, the 13th chapter, of false prophets. It says that the false prophets will say, "The Lord saith," and the Lord hath not sent them. It's very easy sometimes for people to say, "The Lord showed me this. The Lord taught me this. The Lord revealed this unto me. The Lord said this to me," and yet the thing that I say He said contradicts His word. That is to take the name of the Lord in vain. That is to loosely use the name of Almighty God, the one that created heaven and earth, the one with whom there should be a fear. The scripture says, "Reverend is whose name? Is the pastor's name? Reverend is the minister's name?" It says, "Reverend is his name." This is the only place you read in the scripture of the name Reverend to be revered, to be held in awe and great esteem. It's not man. It's not a minister. It's not a preacher that we hold in reverence. But it is the name of the Lord Almighty. Lord, there's a fear in using your name incorrectly, to use it loosely, to say, "Oh, the Lord told me this is okay. The Lord said that, and you know I never said it. I never said that to you." To use the name of the Lord in vain, to give casual treatment unto it. I'd like to look at another use of the name of the Lord. Spoken a bit of how the Lord does not want us to use His name. But I want to look now at the wonderful privilege that we have with His name. 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter. We're very familiar, no doubt, with the story. David and Goliath, as the Philistines were gathered together on one side of the valley, and Goliath, a giant of the Philistines, stood in there taunting them, tempting them, threatening them, and striking fear in every one of their hearts. And here came a young boy, the least likely to succeed. They talk about those sometimes in high school and public school. We vote you most likely to succeed. We vote you the most likely to whatever. I can guarantee you David would not have been the one that they would have voted most likely to succeed against Goliath. But David had something different that he was relying in. As Goliath threatened him, 43rd verse, "The Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves?" And the Philistine cursed David by his God. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, and to the beasts of the field." Then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." I don't come to you, Goliath, with a sword. Yes, you have the sword. You have more power than I have. You have superior weapons than what I have. If I come to you with anything else, if I come to you with swords and weapons and shields, I'll be slain before you. But Goliath, you come to me like that, I come to you in the name of the Lord. What does it mean to come in the name of the Lord? Again, it's not to just lightly throw around the name of the Lord. And it's easy enough to say, "Well, we command this in the name of the Lord. We command this thing here in the name of the Lord. And in the name of the Lord this, and in the name of the Lord that." But it requires more than just saying the words. It's more than just like it's a abracadabra. It's not like it's you just say these words and it's the magic solution to whatever you want, to whatever you want to unlock. You say in the name of the Lord. You know there have been those that have tried it. Let's turn and look at the 19th chapter of Acts. I want to look at an example of when this happened. Acts, the 19th chapter and the 13th verse, says, "Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, "We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth." And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and a chief of the priest, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. We see here that it wasn't just using the name of Jesus. It wasn't just saying the things that they had heard Paul and others speak. No doubt they had looked on that. They had seen what they had done. They had seen the spirits cast out. They had heard the words that they said over them. You ever notice how many times when we're anointing the sick, say, "We anoint you in the name of Jesus"? It's not in our name. It's not in our ability and our power. But by the name of Jesus, we claim the virtue and the power and the healing that comes through His name. We have that privilege to call upon the name of the Lord. But it's not like they did here. It's not like just saying the words and throwing them out there and using them loosely. And that's the right combination. They were overpowered and overcome, and they had to run and flee. That's not what happened to Paul. And it's not what will happen to us in our battles, in our temptations. Whenever we call on the name of the Lord, if that power abide within us, if His glory is working in our lives, then I can call upon the name of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, "Lord, would you help me here? I know that I have no power against the devil, but I don't come to the devil in my own power anyway." Remember just a time a while back that the devil was, it seemed like he was fighting me in my mind and trying to bring discouragement. The Lord had given me something to do, and I was facing that, and I was feeling so inferior and incapable, and the devil was trying to make me so discouraged, I felt like just going back home. "You can't do this, and you can't do that, and you're not going to be any good, do any good here." And the Lord spoke to me and said, "Since when have you been able to do anything?" And you know, there was something about the voice of the Lord that didn't discourage me one bit. Because I realized, yes, Lord, I can't do it. Lord, I know in my own name I can't do anything, saying you're right in my own name. But I don't come to you in my own name. I come before you in the name of Jesus. And I stand in His power. Do you know what an ambassador of the United States does? They go representing the nation of the United States. They go with all the backing of the United States military behind them. And all the power that the United States military has. What is one man? But one man with the backing of the whole United States armed forces is a force to be reckoned with. Who are we? We're but nobody in the face of the devil. But in the name of Jesus, whenever I can come representing the name of the power of God that's working in my life, that I'm submitting myself to and allowing to work through my life. "Oh, Satan, you've got one to reckon with. Don't look on me." But in the name of Jesus, I'm going to take this battle. I'm going to take this city. I'm going to conquer this place in my life that I've never been able to conquer in my own self. But in the name of Jesus, what is that name? As He told Israel, "I am the great I am. I am from beginning to end. I am the God of your fathers. I'm the one that your fathers called upon in their hour of distress, and they found deliverance in their time of need." That's what we read of Elijah on Mount Carmel, praying to the God of Abraham and Isaac, Jacob. He's the same God now. "Oh God, would you hear now in this time as the prophets of Baal are gathered here? Oh God of our fathers, hear and answer prayer." And He's still the same God today. The name of the Lord. You know, all these things that we look at of all that the Lord has done, of all the Lord is for us, it's all summed up in the name of God. It's all summed up. It's all represented by that one name. It's no wonder it's not something then to take lightly. To take trivially, as he said, don't take the name of the Lord in vain. Don't ever get to a place that you become casual with it. But realize the awe, the reverence, the respect, and the power that comes with the name of the Lord. I'd like to look at the 18th chapter of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 18, verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Oh, folks, thank the Lord we have a place to run. Thank the Lord that we have one to call upon. Whenever we are weak, whenever we're not strong, Paul recognized his own weakness, but he heard a voice that said, through your weakness, I am become strong. My grace is sufficient for you. Grace, the divine influence on the heart that enables you to do that which you can't do yourself. It'll make it possible. In your own strength, you can't do it, but there's a name. There's one that you can run to and one that you can call upon in the name of the Lord. I remember when I was in elementary school and I used it in the wrong way. But I took great security in the thought that my older brothers went to the same school. And I remember I'd go around to some people that were a little bit bigger than me. And I had a little bit higher degree of confidence or arrogance to them. And I'd taunt them and tease them a little bit and remind them my big brothers are inside. And all I have to do is call their name and they'll be right out here to help me. I don't know if they would have or not. But do you know we can call on the name of the Lord? Whenever we're facing something and it seems like this is just me and this problem. It's just me and this situation that I'm dealing with and I'm wrestling with. You know it's not. There's a name that we have the wonderful privilege to call upon. The name of Jesus. And in that, there is security. In that, there is grace and power. And help in time of our need. There's healing. Whatever it is, I am that I am. I am everything that you need in your time of need, says the Lord. The name of Jesus is that at which every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess that He is Lord. There's power in that name. There's power in that name that the devils themselves, again, recognize and tremble at. Because of what it represents. So what's in a name? More than just a couple syllables that identify somebody. But it represents everything that they are. It represents the power that they hold. It represents the force and the might with which they can come to my rescue. And the Lord sends us forth as His ambassadors. As His servants and children into a dark and a hostile world. And I believe this morning He wants to remind us, you have a name to call on. You have a name, and when you're facing the hostility of this world and the hostility of the enemy and the places in your own life that you face hardship, you have a name. Never forget the name of the Lord. Scripture says some will trust in horses. Some will trust in chariots. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. That's where our trust is. Others have put their trust in this or in that, and they'll depend. But whenever my time comes to face my Goliath, and my Goliath many times looks very similar to Clint. The Goliaths in my life of self and of places that I have to fight and conquer. Whenever I go to those places and I face those things, my trust is in the Lord. Whenever I face the valley of the shadow of death, where's my trust? It's in the name of the Lord. It's in the one that created me. Whenever I am sick and afflicted, where's my trust? Lord, my trust is in your name. The one that made heaven and earth. Thank the Lord this morning that there is a name, the name of the Lord, that's a strong and a high tower to every one of us. You pray for me. Amen.